Here we are once again, assembled at the Lord's house. Amen. The title of the message this morning will be, What Kind of Faith Do You Have? What kind of faith do you have? We find the scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. So as you find that, let me welcome once again all our visitors and guests this morning. Thank you for coming out and being with us today at Clear Fork. We got some people traveling. Reed and Roy Barks are here this morning. Good to see them. And she told me if Roy falls asleep, just go over there and preach right in his ear. So if I move off the platform and go over there, that's what I'll be doing. Amen. All right. Children are still leaving. We'll let them get settled. It's good to see everybody this morning. What kind of faith do you have? Hebrews chapter 11, there in verses 1 through 6. When you find that, in honor of God's word, please stand. And I'll read those six verses and pray, and then we may be seated. Faith is a dying word, isn't it? Faith reminds me of an old set of drapes hanging in the window that the wind and the sun has sort of beat down and they started to fade. That's what's happening to faith in our nation. What kind of faith do you have? Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. The Bible says this, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. And Lord, I know if the Holy Spirit is not here, nothing's going to happen. And Father, I pray that all gossip would be removed from people's minds. Father, all worries about things that don't matter be removed from our hearts. And Lord, may just for the next few moments, just concentrate on you. Allow the Holy Spirit to do what he would do, a work in our hearts. We love you. We thank you for this piece of scripture. Father, we thank you for the beautiful music, Lord, and for the children's sermon, for all the people here this morning. Pray for them and their families and forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. To determine what kind of faith we have, we first of all have to determine what faith is. Amen? Faith makes things real. It makes things real. And the dictionary definition of faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Everyone has faith. And they exercise that faith almost every moment of every day. Amen? We walked into this sanctuary today and we exercised faith. We have faith in the architect that designed the building. We have faith in the builders that built our sanctuary here. And we also have faith in the materials that were used to build everything you see. So we have faith. And we never gave it a thought, did we? Never walked in this building and thought the roof would fall in. I never stepped up here and thought the pulpit was going to collapse. I never thought that. When we mail a letter, when we make a bank deposit, when we take medication, we're using an enormous amount of faith. So the question is not, do you have faith? The question is, what kind of faith do you have? You see, there's a big difference between the two. Everyone, everywhere, every day exercises faith in humans. That's the kind of faith we usually exercise. All people have faith. And then some people choose to place their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so now I'm getting a little more in line with what the writer of Hebrews says here in chapter 11. Jesus alone can save you and secure you. I love what Peter stated in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Very popular piece of scripture. I love this. He said, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, so if your faith is in something else besides Jesus, You don't have the faith I'm talking about this morning. And here in our text, verse 6 states that without faith, it is impossible to please God. I don't know how many times I've read that verse and I've thought about that, but that verse amazes me. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Romans chapter 14, verse 23 states it like this. It says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Man, that's some tough sledding on Memorial Day weekend, ain't it? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And anything that's not of faith is sin. So this faith is pretty important, amen? So you better make sure you know what kind of faith you have. So we've learned quickly what faith is, what faith does, etc. So we need to make sure our faith lines up with what the Word of God says this morning. You see, biblical faith begins by understanding that there is a true and living God. That's how biblical faith begins. And as I finish the introduction, I want to warn you before I start. Everybody say amen. Amen. If you listen, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you very much. If you prayed for your pastor this week, say yes, I did. Ooh. See, I was on a roll there. I got about half of it, but that's okay. Thank you for praying for it. Other half, you need to get busy praying. Amen. All right. All jokes aside, before I begin, I want to warn everybody of something. I want to warn you that Satan tries to counterfeit everything that God offers. And faith is no different. Okay? So be careful about that. I'm here to warn you. Wishful thinking, amen. Selfish desires and some form of positive thinking can be confused for faith. That's what Satan offers instead of faith. He offers those things. And so when this is what happens, amen? When you have wishful thinking, when you have selfish desires and positive thinking, and when those counterfeits, those replicas that Satan offers us, when they fail to unlock God's promises for our lives, many people abandon the life of faith. So it's important to know what kind of faith you have. It's very important to know that. But you see, real faith always opens the door. And so for the next few moments, I want to just share with you a few of my thoughts on the three types of faith that we find in our churches today and see how our faith, your faith, my faith lines up with what the Word of God says. Amen? Because at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter what I think, what you think, it's what the Word of God says. Amen? Now, there's three things. I know your sermon insert's kind of crazy. You say, boy, you got a lot of blanks filled in here. Yes, I do, because I care about you. I love you. And I want you to make sure you understand what kind of faith you have when you leave the building this morning. Amen? So the first type of faith that I see in many churches is a superstitious faith. It's a superstitious faith. And a superstitious faith is dangerous because it dishonors the Savior. Amen. A superstitious faith is dangerous because it dishonors the Savior. We receive many things because of faith. We receive salvation by faith. Amen. I need to be a lot more amens on that. We receive salvation by faith. Amen. We receive victory over the flesh through faith. We receive victory over Satan through faith. Amen. We also inherit many problems in our life because we do not exercise faith. We inherit worry, and we inherit guilt, and we inherit disobedience. And what I have learned is if you have a superstitious faith, folks, you're going to rely on your feelings rather than the Word of God. And when that happens, you're a sitting duck for the devil. When you rely on your feelings instead of the Word. Listen, don't trust your feelings. Trust the Lord. Don't trust what you're feeling. Trust the Lord. Don't worry about the hypocrites in the church. Amen? Got plenty of them here. Got plenty of them in any other church you want to step into as well. Don't worry about the hypocrites in the church. You should not be putting your faith in hypocrites. Amen? You should be putting your faith in the Lord. You see? There is a difference. Matthew chapter 29, Jesus speaking there, he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. He didn't say not according to your feelings, not according to your fortune, not according to your friends. He said according to your faith, be it unto you. Listen to me. Faith is the greatest asset that we possess. Amen? Nothing greater than faith. And faith, our faith, should be in Jesus and nothing else. That's what Peter was talking about in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I mentioned a minute ago. Listen, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it gives the believer all we need to know when it says this. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and it is written, the just shall live by faith." So, it's impossible to please God without faith. If it's not of faith, it's sin. And the just shall live by faith. Faith is pretty important. What kind of faith do you have this morning? I hope it's not a superstitious faith. You see, we live spiritually by faith. Not superstition. Superstition is defined as an irrational belief founded on ignorance or fear. It's an irrational belief based on the unknown. Listen, folks, as children of God, we do not have the spirit of fear.
Right.
Amen? Don't have the spirit of fear. Amen? And we don't have to know. We gotta know. We have the spirit of power, and we have the spirit of love, and of a sound mind, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7. And according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, John tells us that he wrote these things that we may know that we have eternal life.
Amen.
Don't have to wonder. He said, "I wrote this stuff so you'll know." Man, I'm glad that's in the Bible. Amen. Don't have to walk around confused. You know, people are scared. Amen? People are scared. They're upset. They're emotional about spiritual things. Trust me, I talked to enough people to know. They're confused. And it's all, you know what it all is? It's a bunch of superstitious garbage, what people believe. Bunch of garbage. That's all it is. We need to make sure our belief and our understanding lines up with what the Bible says and establish the bedrock of our lives according to the Word of God and get busy doing what God would have us to do. That's what we have to be doing. We waste too much time on things that don't matter. Amen? In our personal lives, in our spiritual lives, we waste too much time on things that do not matter. The Bible says we are to know and have no fear. To know these things and have no fear. Everything we need to know. You ever heard the phrase, you're on a need-to-know basis? Y'all heard that? Maybe you work at a spot and, you know, maybe you're the supervisor or manager or owner or whatever, and somebody come up to you and say, "What about this?" Well, you're on a need-to-know basis. You just don't need to know right now. Amen? Listen to me. Everything we need to know, God has given us in His Word. God doesn't tell you you're on a need-to-know basis. You don't need to know that right now. It's all right there. He said, "You're a child of mine. All the information you need is, it's right here." You see, God loves us and He wants us to know. He wants us to know. We don't need anything else, amen, including the horoscopes. I hope you don't dabble in that garbage. That's a whole nother message. Amen? I need to elaborate on that. In the Old Testament, they'd stone you. They caught you doing that kind of stuff. Listen, if you're waiting on emotion, or if you're waiting on good vibes from God, that may never happen. If you're waiting for angels to play like Dr. Rogers, you say, tic-tac-toe in your ribcage, hey, that may never come. Liver shivers and all that stuff people talk about, you know. That may never happen, folks. Misplaced faith is dangerous. It's crippling. It's dangerous. And living with that kind of belief, it dishonors the Savior. That's the first thing. Number two is this. Not only a superstitious faith, but a superficial faith. You see, and a superficial faith is even more dangerous than a superstitious faith because it does two things that absolutely cripples our churches. You know what a superficial faith does? It deceives the saints and it delays the sinner. That's what a superficial faith does. Now listen, superficial means to exist only on the surface. Thomas Boston said this, he said it best when he gave these words a long time ago. He said, if thou art not born again, all thy outward reformation is not. Thou hast shut the door, but the thief is still in the house. Let that sink in for a second. You've shut the door, but the thief is still in the house. Folks, it doesn't matter what it is on the surface. You see, it deceives the saints and delays the sinner. To many people, the important thing is to believe. But I would ask the question, what do you believe in? You see, because what you believe is actually just secondary, amen? Got to make sure you're believing in the right thing to start with. You see, your power is not in the faith. Your power is in the God upon whom you put your faith in. It's like if, I read a story a long time ago, an evangelist. He took a vacation and he was from southern Arkansas and he went way up north somewhere in early March and he got up there and he loved to fish. He said, well, can we go fishing? And one of his buddies that let him stay out in his cabin, he said, all the lakes are frozen. We'll have to ice fish. He said, well, what's that? He said, well, we walk out on the lake and we cut a hole in the ice and we sit down, put our line in there and we fish. He said, probably not me. He said, no, it's okay. Going out there. And so he went out about a few steps off the shore and he come back and said, I can't do that. And they got back in the truck and they were driving down the road and they went by this pond and this big old man is sitting out in the middle of this pond on a bucket, fishing. And you said, wow, man, that guy's got a lot of faith to be fishing out there in the middle of that pond. You see, and to think about it, what does your faith need to be in when you go ice fishing? Does your faith need to be in the faith you have, or does your faith need to be in the ice? Make sense? He said, how in the world did a guy get that courage to go out there and fish like that? He goes, well, he's from around here, and he knows the ice. He's comfortable with the ice. You see, do you put your faith in the ice, or do you put your faith in your faith? You see, if you're as comfortable with God as that man was comfortable with the ice, you put your faith in God and not worry about it yourself. You see, that's a little illustration of what it's talking about. You see, faith in faith is really only faith in yourself, which means we are concentrating on me instead of Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. Anything that's not of faith is sin. And Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Folks, this faith is very important. It's very important that you're right on your faith. You see, if your faith has never grown, it's a superficial faith. Your faith should always be growing. Bible speaks of people with little faith, talks of people of great faith. Our faith grows when we trust God by choice. Amen? That's how our faith grows. Our faith increases with the knowledge of God, and our faith increases through experience. But many times, you know what happens? We don't trust God until we have to. Superficial faith. When you've ran out of things to do and ran out of ideas, you say, okay, God, I'll trust you now. You say, I'll give you a biblical example. Everybody heard of Abraham in the Old Testament? Father Abraham had many sons. I'm not going to try to sing that. I'll mess it up. And many sons had Father Abraham. Everybody heard of Abraham? Abraham, pretty good guy, wasn't he? Father of the Hebrew race. God made him a lot of promises in the book of Genesis. We're going to be seeing some of those on Wednesday nights over the summer. A lot of promises. God had a plan for Abraham. But if you look over there in Genesis chapter 12, you don't have to turn. I'm not going to be reading any scripture this morning. Abraham kind of found out that there's a lot of other choices besides trusting God, didn't he? He went down to Egypt. And he lied about Sarah being his sister. He said, well, if we go down there and they see you and they know I'm your husband, they'll kill me because you're so beautiful. And he was her sister, she was his sister, but you know, they had different fathers, so it's kind of strange there, but he was half right, but a half true is almost a full lie. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody once told me that an excuse is a thin shred of truth stretched over a lie. That's what Abraham did. He said, well, she's my sister. You see, folks, Abraham had faith in his own plans. He didn't have faith in God. That's a superficial faith. It's just on the surface. And the devil is always there. Everybody say always.
Always.
The devil is always there trying to give us an alternative than trusting God. God had a plan for Abraham, but when things got tough, Abraham said, you know what? I think I'm going to take this one on by myself, God. You just settle there and wait. And if I need you, I'll come get you. Has anybody ever been guilty of doing that beside the pastor? I'm going to be the only, okay, a few people. I was going to say I'm going to be the only one at the altar when the invitation time comes. Amen. Listen to me. That kind of faith, it deceives the saints of God and it delays the sinner. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Chad? Listen. I doubt that Pharaoh ever come into any more contact with a believer. But look what kind of testimony Abraham left behind. You see, it matters, folks, who you put your trust in. It matters who you put your faith in. I can imagine Pharaoh saying, get rid of that guy. If he's a child of God, I hope I never see another one. He couldn't be honest with me about his wife. Amen? That's what happens when you have a superficial faith. You see, Abraham was only concerned about himself. He left poor Sarah there to fend for herself. What kind of husband was that? You see, it just keeps going on and on and on. A superficial faith is only skin deep. And when the pressure comes, amen, you're not going to put your faith in God. You're going to put your faith in something else.
Amen.
That's what's going on. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. Trust me, I've lived it. I've seen people do it. Let us not be like those referred to in an old A.W. Tozer quote when he said, Christians don't tell lies. They just go to church and sing them. Anybody ever sang the hymn, I Surrender All? Pretty much everybody needs to write, everybody's heard that song, right? We sing that song here, Barry. You ever sung that song? Barry said, all right. Barry said yes, so everybody sung it. Now let's be honest. How many people in here have surrendered everything to the Lord? Very few. No. You see? We don't have to tell lies. We just come to church and sing about it. Amen? Last thing is this. Not only a superstitious faith and a superficial faith, but we need to have a strong faith. All believers should strive for a strong faith. I'm going to give you three things to help you with your faith. Give you a strong faith. And the first thing is this. We should hear the word. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. The Bible says this. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. That's where you get your faith from. The preacher delivers the letter, but it's God who gives the message. Now, I'm preaching to several people this morning. All right? And I'm preaching in English. I have pretty good English. I stutter and stammer and spit sometimes. But I'm preaching the same to everybody. But the message is going to affect Brother Bill differently than it's going to affect Brother Robert. But I'm saying the same thing. You see, I just deliver the message, the letter. God gives you the message. So how many ways does God speak? Well, you may be listening to a sermon Amen. You may be listening to a song. You may be reading your Bible. You may be praying. And God says, listen, this is from me. It's all true, but this is especially from me to you. You see, hearing the word is the first step in having strong faith. And folks, the worship hour is not the only place to hear the word. The backbone of a solid, growing, together church is the Sunday school. I guess some of you wonder when I was going to get around to that. Been here 3 months, ain't said a word about it, have I? I saved it for this morning. Amen. That is the backbone of a strong... Hey, parents, listen to me. Listen to me. The best example you can give to your children... Amen. The best example you can set for your children is to bring them to a Sunday school where the Word of God is taught. You'll be happy you did it. That they won't get enough of it during the worship hour. They won't get enough of it during the children's church. Amen. A church is only as strong as their Sunday school. Trust me now. You believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Some of you with me this morning. Okay? It's where everything else grows from. It comes out of the Sunday school hour. Hey, listen, if you're new to a church, if you're visiting with us and you belong to another church somewhere, the best place to grow, the best place to meet people in your church is the Sunday school. That's just how it happens. You'll fellowship with other believers. You'll learn God's word in Sunday school, and don't fool yourself into thinking anything different. Got some wonderful teachers here at Clear Fork. I invite you to Sunday school. You say, well, Brother Chad, I work and I help youth. Listen, if you're dedicated to the youth, the best example that you can give to a young person is coming to Sunday school. Because if you don't come to Sunday school, they won't think it's that important. Amen?
Amen.
I think children know what's important to me because I tell them and I try to do my best to model that in front of them. That's the best way to do it. You can talk all you want to, folks. Actions speak louder than words. When we hear the word of God, our faith grows. So you hear the word. Second thing is this. Believe the word. We get our word believe from an old English word, by live. And so what that translates is, so when we say we believe God's word, we should be living by it. Amen. That's what that believe means. Hey, listen. If you hear the word of God and you believe the word of God, but you're not believing in it and you're not living it the way you should, it's just a bunch of religious talk. Faith is belief with legs on it. And there may be some people here this morning and you're sitting there and thinking this. You're saying, I can't believe because God did not give me enough faith. God did not speak to me, so it's not my fault. One more time. Go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to take just a few moments and I want you to turn to Romans chapter 10 if you have your Bibles, and they'll put it up on the screen too. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. I've already said it once. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now that's not what I want to tell you though. I want you to back up to verse 16. Romans chapter 10, verse 16. Okay? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now you look at that, what does verse 16 say? It says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. You see that? Hear the word, and then you believe the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But in the verse before, he said, hey, not all is going to obey. Now, why didn't they believe and why didn't they obey? Listen, folks, because not everyone is a believer. Amen? See, this is not the popular part of the message. Not everyone is a believer because you don't have the right kind of faith. You have a superstitious faith. You got faith in something else besides Jesus. You have a superficial faith. It only goes skin deep. Now you, God is speaking. Amen. That's why I firmly believe this is the word of God, because it's held up under so much shoddy preaching through the years. Amen. So God is speaking. The problem is not everyone will believe. And a lot of times we'll read things in scriptures. We'll read things in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans. Well, how in the world can they do that? Folks, did you know that the New Testament was written to churches? It's written to churches. It's not written to lost people. It's written to churches. And so when we look at that, you can believe it if you want to, but God gives a warning about that in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. He says, take heed, brethren, lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief. He said, beware. Beware. Not enough to hear the word. Not enough to just believe the word. Last thing is this, and I'm through. Obey the word. To have a strong faith, not only do we have to hear the word and believe the word, we must also obey the word. James said it like this in chapter 1, verse 22. He said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Well, that's pretty powerful in the message with that. Did you hear that? Listen to that. He said, if all you do is hear the word and believe the word, and you don't obey the word, if you're not a doer of what you're hearing and believing, you're deceiving yourself. Now, I didn't say that. Don't get mad at me. I didn't say that. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. You see, if we will show our faith, God will grow our faith and others will know our faith. Being faithful and not only hearing and believing the word, but also obeying the word. That's the kind of faith you have when you have strong faith. Now let me tell you though, some of you have been thinking about what I'm saying and it's almost clicked in and it's almost invitation time and you've got that going on in your mind and Satan's going to come at you in your mind. Amen. He's coming at you. He's coming to some of you right now. And this is what he's going to tell you. You listen, say amen.
Amen.
If you listen, say amen.
Amen.
This is what the devil's going to tell you. You're sitting there thinking about what I've said. The word of God has impressed upon you something. And the devil's going to tell you, he's going to say, it's not worth it. He's going to say, it's not worth it. He's going to say, you're so wicked and you're so filthy, there's no way you can ever obey the word of God. That's what he's going to tell you. That's what he's telling some of you right now. That's what he's telling you. He's going to say, you just might as well forget it. Listen, you know what you need to tell him? You need to tell the devil this. You need to say, devil, you are correct. I am filthy. I am wicked. And I really don't deserve anything. But I want to obey God's word in every way possible, not just a few ways that are convenient and easy for me. J.C. Ryle once said, let us beware of repentance without evidence. Folks, the devil has every right to accuse us, but he forgets, as believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that all our sins are under the blood. They're covered. We have Jesus standing right now before the God the Father saying, Lord, they're forgiven. It's under the blood. Hear the word, believe the word, obey the word. So this morning I want to ask you something. What kind of faith do you have? Do you have a superstitious faith? Do you have faith in something other besides Jesus? Do you have a superficial faith, faith that is only skin deep? Or do you have a strong faith where you hear, believe, and obey the word of God? You see, what we're getting ready to have is as Mary Ann comes and Brother Barry comes, we're going to have a time of invitation, an altar call, whatever you want to call it. And folks, let me tell you something about the invitation. It's for everyone. Amen? Don't matter what age you are, don't matter what stage in your Christian life you're in, it's for everyone. And whatever you have on your heart this morning, maybe you're sitting there thinking, you say, Brother Chad, you know what? My faith is not in Jesus. My faith was in my baptism. My faith was in my church membership. Listen, folks, that kind of faith's not going to get you to heaven. I'm not going to get you there. Superficial faith, that faith that's only skin deep, it's not going to get you to heaven. Oh, let me paint a picture in your mind and I'll pray and I'll be done. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great this morning? I told the kids that God is everywhere. Amen. You know, God loves you. God loves our church. And God is interested in what's happening here. Wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if God would look down this morning, see this altar full of people, and he said, man, Clearport, they started to get serious. Serious about this. And my prayer is this, that when everybody leaves this morning, you'd have some strong faith. You'd have the beginning of strong faith. Maybe you've had superficial faith, whatever. But when you leave this morning, I want you to know that you need a strong faith. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. Father, I know by the attention and people shaking their heads and other things going on in the building, Lord, I know a lot of people needed to hear this morning. Father, I pray if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice that's never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, truly repented of their sins, asked you to save them, Father, I pray this will be the day of their salvation. And Father, I also pray this morning for those out there that are hurting. Father, those that have lost loved ones. Father, those that are in a tough spot in their lives. Father, that need some direction and some guidance. Lord, I pray they'd come this morning and pray about that. And Lord, if there's other people here that see them praying, they'd go with them and pray with them. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here in a pew right now, we're getting ready to stand. And I pray, Lord, if somebody knows somebody else in this building that's going through a tough time, maybe a family issue, a medical issue, Father, I pray they'd go to them, take them by the hand, say, let's go pray. I want to pray with you. God's laid it on my heart to pray with you. And Father, we're going to turn it over to you. I'm not going to drag it out any longer. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand. Continue to sing. I just wanted to give one more opportunity. Do you mean what you're singing, church? You want the Lord to have His own way? Let Mary Ann just play. Martha, play through one more time. No singing, just a quiet time. You can pray there in the pew where you're at. That's just fine. Just a quiet time for you and the Lord.